ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कौञ्चयुद्वाक्कौदीनाम् अन्त्यजान् अप्ति सादरम् अथोषयाद्यथा न्यायम् स्वा Next, he respectfully said, everyone else, including the most fallen outcast, in suitable ways he satisfied, even the dogs, jackals, birds, and insects. Commentary. Shudras and outcasts are commonly considered fallen. The men who are poor and hungry are usually identified as wretched. But the real criterion of a person's fallen wretched condition is his lack of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Amanina Madhavena Kirtaniya Siddhahari Sukshastaka 3. One who wants to worship Lord Hari perpetually by Nam Sankirtan must give up demanding respect for himself and must practice showing respect to every living creature. But the respect one shows must be appropriate to each individual. Only a fool would embrace a hungry tiger in the name of brotherly love. And to a devotee endeavoring for pure Krishna consciousness, should keep a respectful distance from persons of dubious character and faith. Om Jnana Timiram Vasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Aksirinmutamyena Prajnai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Mano Dushtam Kapitanyena Bhutale Kayam Ruta Kadamayam Kutati Sakadantikam Adatanas Chinandante Idanya Che Kunapuna Inaduta Kadamboja Vilisham Janma Janmani Bhakti Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Vidadha Shivasa Devoya Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Most Merciful Rai Sri Govardhan Dham Hare Dasa Varya, probably the largest deity in the world. So nice. Those of you who have heard me speak regularly, you may not recognize my pace today. It may be a little bit slower than usual. Just somehow I wasn't able to get really hardly any sleep last night. It's morning here, so usually that full flow of energy may not come to the degree it is. Also very nicely busy. I'm also, one activity I like is staying in Govardhan, but preaching in the West. Somehow people are coming. A nice young man from the city, lives in New York City. Very interested. You know, I've been taking him around for the last 2 days. Who's that? What? What's that? She can answer it. very nice. Even a new person, just taking them around Golden Round Hill and seeing the people doing Dandavat Parikram. Even Westerners, ladies, young ladies, cheerfully going around. And you always find something new. We were just chanting in Nir Apsara Kun, and it's just an old sadhu smiling. He invited us into his little kutir cave, and we did kirtan. These experiences, they really have a deep impression on people. That's kind of been nice. So before we start, because the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, it's the essence of the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, which is in the category of perfect, more perfect and most perfect. I'd like to start with just an exercise that I sometimes do. Just to illustrate a point, think of a person that you most want to change. You just love to change in some way. And assuming that you're correct, it's not just envy, that this person needs to change. Why can't he change? Because he has the wrong conception of something, an idea of himself. He can't see a particular truth. And probably behind that inability not to see a particular truth lies an attachment. So I just want to illustrate in a very practical way how difficult it is to give truth. And now you know it's not just another person that has to change. It's you yourself that has to change. And perhaps one of the people on the Sangha was thinking of you. And there's something in you that's not true. You're accepting something that's not true. I always have this experience in my Krishna consciousness. I try to advance every year. I have this experience that every year I get to a certain platform and I say, now I see the truth. Because at every moment, what we believe, we think is true. And I'm amazed that every time I come to this other realization, I go, oh my God, the next year, again, I found out that I was living some type of lie. Maybe not in a dishonest way, but in an ignorant way. So, in the same way, this is a very, very rare book, because the higher the truth that is given, the more resistance it is someone who's attached. So this book indicates, it's such a wonderful book because it indicates the highest truth. And it's not often revealed, even in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jadmadya Syaya Tonsayad. Krishna is God, accepted that type of thing. Not easy. Because the thing that is most dear to us is the false ego, the conception that I am the controller and I am the doer, our sense of superiority. And that sense of superiority is crushed in the presence of that being which is absolute. So, it's a very great thing. And we see even in the history of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva is trying to passionately give people the Vedic knowledge the first time around. He misses it because he's a little afraid. He gives it too direct, he may chase people away. So, this is a very, very nice book with higher and higher truth, and it starts with, we said in Maharaj Prickett's son, Janamejaya, he's studying Mahabharata, from this great sage, Jaimini Rishi, who is entrusted with the Samaveda, the devotional hymns of the Vedas, who are also a great devotee. And when he's hearing the Mahabharata, he's hearing a version, not the version we heard, but another version that's more intimate, which is revealed to those who have a higher capacity and frame of reference and purity to understand it. So, not only that, so here, that's higher than the Mahabharata we're hearing. Ajahnama Jaya wants something else. He wants I think it's called a Kila, some short version that even presents the essence of that. In Mahabharata, then you have this more revelatory Mahabharata in terms of Krishna. And then what he wants, well, now that he's heard that, he wants the something that presents the essence of that. And in response to his desire, this is the progression of truth. He tells the story of Maharaj Cricket after he heard the Bhagavatam, where his mother comes, and she wants a summary of it. There, there's the Bhagavatam, and that's the Brihat Bhagavatam. It's the essence. And then you have Sanatana Goswami, the author, who Nana Shastra Bhachara Naika Nipa knows said Dharma Samstapako. He's going through such a variety of scriptures, you know, and extracting the essence in different places. Nana Shastra expertly scrutinizing it, and he's weaving this together. And then he presents this, and then he presents this is Maharaj Cricket now is narrating the Brihad Bhagavatam to the essence. And the essence of the Bhagavatam is what? What is the book about? Dharma Projita Kaitava Tra Paramo Namastaranam Vatam. It's a very, very high book because it's only about the soul. And the soul is a devotee of Krishna. It's only about the essence of the soul. Dharma projita, and any dharma that presents, any religion that presents a material motive is kicked out. And therefore, how high is the Bhagavatam? Dharma projita kaisabhata paramo namastaranam sitam. It's paramo, it's the highest. Namastaranam sitam. It's for the devotees to come. And what's the quality of the devotees? They have no envy. And what is that envy? The fruit of activities, the desire to gain superiority, by fruit of endeavor, to accrue more things for yourself selfishly. You won't get that in the Bhagavatam. It's for those who are in the mere matsara, without hate or envy or fruit of desire. So it's such an exalted book. So, the Bhagavatam is about pure devotional service. Anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam. It's about pure devotion. Devotion that is causeless. You're serving Krishna without any personal desire. And that consciousness is exemplified in the life of the devotee. So there's going to be a very wonderful story where we see the lives of different devotees and the nature of their bhakti. And the story is, the story is, as he's telling it, as it begins, and I think I can tell it again just shortly to bring us up to today's point, but it's so nice. It's the Kumbh Mela. I described in the last week that there's 3 months. There's Kartik for, you know, I think austerities, devotional austerities, there's Shravan for festivals, And Kartik is bathing. I mean, now, it's the winter, bathing. And when they have that auspicious day, 10, 20 million people come. So this is the Kumbh Mela, the Vaishnavas. As Vaishnavas, they're so satisfied. They took, it's the morning, it's the right place, they took the sacred bath in the winter. It's very invigorating. And then they're looking at the Bindu Madhava deity, with such, and they're filled, they're satisfied. Because our lack of satisfaction is only there's not sufficient love. And when you, in a holy place, perform the right spiritual activities, in association of the right people, your heart becomes filled with love. And therefore you're finally satisfied. And in that satisfaction, you cease your fruitive endeavors. You're completely satisfied at heart. And in that consciousness, you begin to appreciate others because you're not in competition with them. And you're very free. And in the Vaishnav mood of feeling mercy and the humility invokes, you're starting to see others as better than you. You develop a vision through the eyes of devotion and love. So they're all praising each other. You're the best devotee. It's such a wonderful society. Look at the society. Each person in that society, he so much doesn't want personal gain for himself that he doesn't like to hear praise. And he likes to praise others. And in the purport, there's a brilliant, brilliant statement. It's just so simple, and I think it's so pertinent to us, because one way or another, we all live in some type of community. It may be a unit as a family. It may just, there could be a widow up in northern Canada or something that's on the Sangha, and that's whatever it is. But it says, when Vaishnavas are friendly to one another like this, their community prospers. And it prospers from two angles. It prospers from the mystical spiritual angle, that the Supreme Lord becomes pleased and showers blessing. Prabhupada had a lot of faith in community development based on those principles. I remember recently one sadhu came to visit me, and he was talking about this other sadhu. He said, they stopped two things in India, abortion and cow slaughter. The country would prosper. It was that faith, because there's a reciprocation. But also from a practical standpoint, a community, look at a preaching mission. If people actually came to our temples and saw that spirit, it would be so unique and so new to them that they would gravitate towards it. So, it's so nice, and the devotees are there, and they're appreciating each other in that way. And then in the midst of this, some really nice Brahmin arrives. And he's absorbed in devotional service. From these stories, we should try to extract the aspects of devotion to aspire for. And it will inspire us, because we are devotees, and if you're a devotee, it means that devotion is in your heart. You want that. So he has all assets. He has all assets, and he has very valuable things for worship, and he's a very generous person, and he has so much devotion. They're watching. He's purifying the ground. He makes this altar with his own hand. He places his shalagram shila, and he worships joyfully with great devotion. Joy means bhakti. And real bhakti is done out of love, and therefore the pleasure is at the moment. I described that before. He's not doing his puja. to finish his puja, thinking that the benefit I get from the puja is that I followed the rule of finishing the puja. But the joy is the activity itself, and therefore it becomes timeless. Anytime you do something for some goal or result, it covers you with a certain tie. But when you actually do something out of love, for the moment, you enter kind of into the eternal now. Therefore you don't see that kind of lamentation or passion. It's a very devotional thing. Now what's happening is, because all these sages are there, they're kind of just watching this. And the story is that Narada Muni is incognito within these sages. And so they're watching this, as we're watching this. And he begins to chant, dance, sing. I remember one time I visited this temple in India. The Radharaman Goswami is there. You know, people get married, they move to different places, but they still remain Radharaman Goswamis. And we went to this one person, he's a principal of the school, but you know, his family ran a Radharaman temple in this little town. We went to this old Indian house with this open courtyard, and the father had just broken the hip. And he was laying 90 years old on a bed in the courtyard, and there was a picture of Radharaman to his left side. And when we came in, you know, he was looking at the picture, and he went, Radha Krishna Panamora Yudhara Kishora Jivane Morani Koti. So, and the person with me just looking for, this is God's country. So we can imagine he's worshiping and he's dancing and singing, and it's such a beautiful scene. And then we see the heart of the Vaishnava. He's respecting everyone. So he's respecting the Brahmins, everyone. He honors people. He creates the mood of love by the proper respect to others. What's the mood of love? Love is a reciprocation. So it's flowing. It's flowing from one person to another. And that's society where people know how to appropriately deal with others. There's always a flow of love between people, and it becomes very, very pleasant. It's his festival, so he can create that reciprocation of love by the way he deals with others. So the person in charge, it's very important to create that mood of love and reciprocation. How does he do it? He appropriately, the respectable person comes and he garlands them and he gives them the right proper seed and he puts sandalwood pulp, and if one person's senior, he may have a little more honor. And he's honoring them, the Brahmins who are expert, and he's offering respect to everyone. So they're his guests. So what is respect? It's his love for those people. And what's their response? The natural response of people who are saintly, whether it's Brahmins, sannyasis, Vaishnavas, and things, they begin from their heart just naturally to shower affection and blessings. This Brahmin, he's so pure, and he's creating this whole wonderful mood. And then he's so humble, he washes their feet, and he puts the water on their head. And then he offers, you know, all the remnants to others. So now they're watching this. He has a potency. Now today's verse is he's respectfully fed everyone. Then we see from his heart, because now he was honoring, so he was going up. The mood of respect came from his heart, and now the mood of affection and compassion comes from his heart. So now they're poor people, they're destitute, they're outcasts, they're hungry, and he feeds all of them. So from his heart, because he's so pure,
he's respecting everyone, and he's affectionate to everyone, and it creates the flow of rasa. By that one person's devotion and love and culture. And people are just, it's so wonderful. But of course it says in suitable ways, and the example is that brotherly love, you don't embrace the tiger. There's vidyavinaya sampane, amini, what is it? Brahmani, 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 Ashuni Chaiva Swapaka, Pandit. A pundit deals with everyone equally. And what does that mean? He sees everyone as a servant of Krishna, a soul. But according to their condition and modes, he deals differently, but it's equal vision. An example would be a father has two sons. One son is at home, and, you know, another one is rebelling, and, you know, he treats them equally. If the son who rebels is at home, he also gets the same treatment. He's treating them equally, but in different conditions, you respond differently. Well, the light came on for a second, which was an assistance to me of seeing the page, but it quickly went off because... So we're going to finish this story today and just try to relish the devotee, everything he's given. Evam santar itashesha samadisha. Unless that the light comes on, I'm not going to be able to read the Sanskrit. When he had thus satisfied everyone, the holy men invited him to take the remnants of the sacrifice. So now the holy men, they're feeling so much love for him because he's respected everyone in Japan. Bhakti Trumat in the Vaishnava etiquette class gave that very nice point. Relationship respect goes upward, affection goes downward. So, he was so respectful, they reciprocated. And then with his family and followers, that leader of the Brahmins then enjoyed the nectarian prasad with great delight. They enjoyed. But they enjoyed in the highest way, in the highest enjoyment, is to experience love. And when one has cooked out of love, I always explain this, that, you know, bhunte bhojyate chaiva, one exchange of love is eating and giving prasadam. Why? Because when you want to please someone, you make something very, very nice. And therefore, the sensual experience of those tastes is not just the stimulation of the senses, but you're actually experiencing that other person's love. If someone really has love for Krishna and for the devotees, in these cases, it's very special. Because the taste can be so fine, but it's the shape of their love. You want to please them, you cook for them. And therefore, the expertise of the cooking and the whatever it is, and if everything's done, it's so nectarian. See, he's done this for his Lord, and he's done this for the devotees, and now when he gets the sensual experience, what he's tasting is how much those devotees enjoyed. That's when you take prasad. How much Krishna's enjoyed. So in the spiritual world, this sensual experience, it's just the consciousness of that sensual experience is love. It's not that you don't taste sugar in the spiritual world, but you taste how that sugar was shaped in a particular preparation for Krishna's pleasure, and then you're thinking how much he was enjoying. So when one cooks like this for the deities and for others, and he takes, he relishes more. Even if practically everything is gone and there's just one preparation, because he's tasting, if it was done nicely, how much the Lord and the devotees have enjoyed. After this, he again went before the Shalagram deity of Lord Krishna with folded hands. He offered to the Lord all the pious credits he had earned from the sacrifice. So just see, I always make this point, and I've read it, you know, Vaishnava is for others. If you want to enter Vrindavan, if you want to enter Braja Bhakti, you have to be for others. So selfish people cannot enter the spiritual world. You have to be for others. And therefore, you have to show compassion to others. If you don't show compassion to others, you can't enter into Brajabhakti. You can't enter into Vrindavan. And you have to be selfless. So he's performed this whole sacrifice and there's traditional things in different worship of the demigods where you do end the thing with, this is for, you know, this god, it is no longer mine. But a lot of times that's just words. And you maintain the subtle, but this is real. He doesn't want any benefit because he didn't do it for any benefit. This is a Vaishnava Brahman who's pure. He loves his deity. And therefore, his happiness is the happiness of Krishna. And you'll see, they're very protective that their love is not contaminated. Very protective. For example, a Vaishnava doesn't want praise. Because he didn't do it for praise. I one time was sitting next to Mahanidhi during Kartik. Somehow he came over to Govardhan. I always remember this. And someone sat down to him and said, he said, hey, now he walked by and he told him, you know, I'm chanting 64 rounds every day. And Mahanidhi Swami told me, he said, wow, that's really nice. You just gave all the credit to me. And then he quoted some verse. You know, if you try to get praise from your vows by telling another, then the other person will get the benefit. What's the benefit? The benefit's bhakti. And if you start doing things, it'd be a big Vaishnav. That's, you know, there's one verse, I read it someplace, it said, you know, that, you know, if someone has material desires and approaches Krishna, for that foolish person, I will satisfy his desires. But that's all he'll get. He won't get the bhakti. So we're seeing how nice. Then then he's finished and he puts the deity to rest and gets ready to go home. And it's so beautiful, you know, he's making the bed with love. It's not like, okay, I gotta finish this activity. And Narada's been watching him from a distance. And then Narada stands up. Narada stands up now. And we'll see in Narada something that's the essential quality of advancing in devotional service. That your prime desire is to associate with advanced devotees. The advanced by Sadhu Sangha. First class Sadhu Sangha are those who are more advanced. You become very enthusiastic. I remember this old Sadhu used to visit Vrindavan. And then he used to hang around in our temples. And whenever he would hear, he was 75, 80 years old. Whenever he would hear, I remember one time it was in Jusrupabu or Niranjan, or whoever it was, Parthasarthi, Chachinagani. He was so, he was very advanced. He would run. Oh, they're here? Oh. Why? Because he was mature in devotional service. Seeking out the sadhu. So he saw that again and again, Narada announced, this is the Supreme Lord Vishnu's most dear devotee. Then he ran up to the Brahmin and declared him the recipient of Krishna's highest mercy. Narada proclaimed this openly to all, besides himself, with eagerness for devotional service to the Lord. This is the and the recipient of Lord's mercy. What's Lord's mercy? Lord's mercy is his affection. And who has the most affection from the Lord? The one who loves the Lord most. And this is, therefore, this story And it's put out in this purport when it says this is what the most dear devotee. Whenever you say most dear devotee, it ultimately indicates Sri Radha, which we'll find at the end in his search. The gopis who have the most love. The Pariye Hum, I cannot repay you. You have to be satisfied with the love itself. But we see the essence here. Narada, it's so nice. He'll be running places. He'll be running places to hear and see the devotees. His eagerness. And it's this expression of his love. Narada said, O leader of the Brahmins, it is you that receive Krishna's greatest favor. After all, you have wealth, property, generosity, and personal opulence. You have Krishna's mercy, he's given you everything, but you're completely detached from it. Everything that you get is an inspiration to service. I remember that, I just did one story of my own. I somehow one day was in Mayapur in the winter when George Harrison came to the temple. I was in Mangalarti. And I kind of looked back, and there was George Harrison. I remember then there was the Tulsi Puja, and I gave him water. Now, no one knows what to do with the water you give them on the hand. We think people know you wash it, so they just sprinkle on the head with it, and water tells you. And they took him a tour of the whole place. And he was actually, I mean, I was pretty impressed. He really loved prasadam. Really eat stuff. But he went. At that time, there was one... People who were there remember him. You know, most devotees, they were hippies when they came. This person was a beatnik. You know the difference? He was a beatnik. But he was from New York City. And the person, he was such an unusual person. He was the most competent gardener, farmer type. And at that time, Mayapur's gardens were incomparable. They're nothing now like they were. And he would even be able to grow. I mean, the person was amazing. Professors would come from all over India to learn from him, really, or from over Bengal. So I remember George Harrison was amazed. This is how he was gardening anyway. When he kept on going and he's asking about plants, and this person would point them out. He would know the Latin name, but he was a beatnik. And beatniks, they would talk, hey, daddy, that's what they would say, you know, daddy-o. At the very end, I was there, and George Harrison, I was standing next to him, he said to this person, look, why don't you come, and you can be my gardener in my estate in Hawaii. I'll pay you very nicely. And he looked at George Harrison, and he said, daddy, I got bucks in the bank, and grapes in the cupboard. He said, all I can want is more devotion. That's devotee. All he wants is devotion. And if he's blessed with material opulence, it's used in Krishna's service. A wise one in this best of holy places, this is Narada, we have now seen for ourselves that you are using all these assets exclusively to establish Swadharma, Sadharma, to establish truth. The most learned Brahmin then replies to the best of the sages, O Master, what signs of Krishna's mercy do you see in me? The Vaishnava, his heart is clean. And when something is clean, impurities become more visible. This is such a phenomenon. That those with the dirtiest hearts see the least fault in themselves. And those with the cleanest hearts see the least fault in themselves. And those with the cleanest hearts see the most fault in themselves. A clean glass of water, any little thing that enters. So Raghunath Das Goswami, so pure, he's eating a little buttermilk and he's thinking, oh, what a lusty person. The Thunderdar Swami eats a whole pizza pie at night and he thinks, I'm a renounced sadhu. I ate something wrong last night. Now, I did one more verse because I like to use sometimes the questions. I'm trying to. Then he says, who am I but a most wretched person? How much charity am I able to give? What offerings do I have? And how have I ever reciprocated Lord and devotional service? The Vaishnav sees things in terms of the absolute, not the relative. He doesn't see, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a big man in this community, right? He sees, I'm a fallen soul. Why have I left Krishna? And I just want to read, it's three sentences in the purport. Very significant, please listen. Any true devotee of Krishna considers himself insignificant, thinking himself one of countless jivas, who are mere sparks of God's splendor. Devotee is sorry for having foolishly rebelled against his creator. And reflecting on this rebellion, he thinks that his relative influence among other fallen jivas means little. First of all, he's sorry. He sees that he's separated from Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya said, if I was a devotee, then why am I living? I'm separated from Krishna. And he sees, so nice, one of countless jivas. A mere spark, that one of those jivas proves rebelled. And yet what he sees is that he has some influence in the world, or wealth in this world, or power in this world. He sees it as so relative. In other words, he's seeing on the platform of reality free from illusion. He doesn't even see these things as his. Because they're bestowed upon him for Krishna. They're not the integral part of his soul. Everything belongs to Krishna. And we belong to Krishna. It's such a hump. And another thing, he doesn't want that praise. And I'll just finish. This is such an important point. Because in the platform of humility, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, you're able to experience love. If you have pride, you can't experience love. Because you never think you're getting enough. Like a child who's spoiled. The parents can give him so much, but does he experience love from the parents? Does he experience? No. But a humble child, he's not spoiled. He gets a little thought, oh, he's so, my parents are so kind. So one who's humble, he's experiencing so much love. And he's satisfied. He does not want the false ego. That's not his pleasure. He has a higher pleasure. So when he's praised, he's not going to gravitate towards that false ego. He's going to shut it away. I am not devoted. He is devoted. I'm not the way he's devoted. He points to someone higher. No, I'm not devoted. He's a, just see that consciousness of a real Vaishnava. And he's so satisfied in the holy name of Krishna. He doesn't need anything else. Real Vaishnava. And he doesn't want to be praised. Okay, I ended it good. I'm being a good devotee today. I ended it almost 10 minutes early. And I'd like to keep up this format, so there is a little time for a discussion if anybody has questions, without keeping you up later. Are there any questions? Okay, I don't mind if there's no questions today. Let's see if anyone would like to say Hare Krishna to Govardhan. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna to Govardhan? Is anyone there?
Hare Krishna. This is Anastasia.
Anastasia, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good. This is good. Okay, then, unless anyone wants to say Hare Krishna, unless anyone wants to ask a question, we're going to end today. Thank you all so much for giving me this opportunity to speak about Krishna.
Anastasia, you please stay on. Your brother is here, waiting to speak to you. Vanshikopa Turugyasta Kripasindhu Vayugaja Adhikanam Pavanebhyo Chaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.